ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 6th कैंटो चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट 16। तस्मादिवां ग्राम्य पशोर मम मूढधिया प्रभो अंधे तस्मै मोग्नस्य ज्ञानदीप उधीर्यताम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पर्ट बाय His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because you are great personalities, you can give me real knowledge. I am as foolish as a village animal like a pig or a dog, because I am merged in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, please ignite the torch of knowledge to save me. Purport. This is the way to receive knowledge. One must submit oneself at the lotus feet of great personalities who can actually deliver transcendental knowledge. It is therefore said, तस्माद् गुरुम् प्रपद्येत जिज्ञासु श्रेय उत्तमम्। वन हु इज इनक्विसिटिव टू अंडरस्टैंड हाईएस्ट गोल एंड बेनिफिट ऑफ लाइफ मस्ट अप्रोच ए बोनाफाइड स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर एंड सरेंडर अनटू हिम। ओनली वन हु इज एक्चुअली ईगर टू रिसीव नॉलेज टू एराडिकेट द डार्कनेस ऑफ इग्नोरेंस इज एलिजिबल टू अप्रोच ए गुरु और स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर। The guru should not be approached for material benefits. One should not approach a guru just to cure some disease or receive some miraculous benefit. This is not the way to approach the guru. Tadvijnanartham. One should approach the guru to understand the transcendental science of spiritual life. Unfortunately, in this age of Kali, there are many bogus guru who display magic to their disciples. And many foolish disciples want to see such magic for the benefit, for material benefits. These disciples are not interested in pursuing spiritual life to save themselves from the darkness of ignorance. It is said, Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This gives the definition of the guru. Everyone is in the darkness of ignorance. Therefore, everyone needs to be enlightened with transcendental knowledge. One who enlightens his disciples and save him from rotting in the darkness of ignorance in the material world is a true guru. Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Rasamalayam, the nectar, is as well as medicine for a diseased person. Also, it is a tonic nourishment for a healthy person. Those who are diseased, generally they take medicine to recover themselves, and then they take some nourishment to get back to their health. The medicine and nourishment generally doesn't go together. But Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Rasayanam Piba. This is a real medicine. At the same time, it is not only for those who are full of material disease or material desires. Akama sarva kama moksha kama udharadhi. Even those who are full of material desires can approach the Supreme Lord Krishna and his Srimad Bhagavatam and get purified of those diseases. At the same time, those who are healthy, those who are in the spiritual platform, Atma Ramasya Munayo Nirgranti Api Urukrame Kuruvanti Ahaitikum Bhakti Itam Bhuta Gunohari. Even those who are situated in self-realization, attain the platform of Brahman, still they are also attracted towards Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in the purport to first canto, in a particular verse, Srila Prabhupada writes in the conversation between Narada Muni and Vyasadeva that Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for both good man as well as bad man. That's why Bhagavatam is not a sectarian book. So, here we are reading that Srimad Bhagavatam is acting, the message of the sages Angira Muni and Narada Muni is acting on apparently a diseased person who is attached to a petty thing like that of having a son. And we also hear Bhagavatam just doesn't stop in that point. It further goes of the activities of the pure devotee who achieved love for Krishna. So that is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam. And here we are seeing that Chitraketu Maharaj, who was afflicted after the death of his son, was again approached by Angira Muni. And Angira Muni started giving instruction to Chitraketu Maharaj about the reality of the soul and the body. So in the Bhagavad Gita it is said, that which is permanent is truth. Nasato vidyate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sataha. So that which is permanent is called truth. Or as Prabhupada speaks in his conversation, that knowledge means that which doesn't change. Or he says, science means to see things as they are. So here we see the knowledge of eternal truth is being given. Once in a college, four boys, they were waiting in the bus stop for the bus to come, to go to the college. It is getting late. And the three other boys, they decided, okay, anyway, we are going to college every day. So let us go for some kind of recreation. So they decided, they took the car. Then they saw the fourth student is standing still in the bus stop. And this student is generally sits in the front of the front bench and he stays awake for the class of the professor. He takes note and is a very good student. So the three students, they thought that if we are late and if this fellow goes in the first and we will be caught, so let us take him also with us. So they take this boy also. They tell, come, we'll go in the car, we'll reach far early. So they both sit in the car and they go. First they go to some movies and then they go to some other place. And the first class student, he was not interested, but still, what to do? His friends are calling and they are already in the vehicle. Anyway, the bus is not coming. So they did and they reached the school, the college, after 3-4 hours late. And they went to the classroom. And the professor, he asked, why did you come late? So three of them looked at each other and they told, sir, there is no bus available, we came by car and tire got punctured. So then the professor looked at the first class student and he was afraid what to do now. So the professor asked, is it true? You came late because of the car puncture, the tire puncture. So this fellow looking here and there, and what to do now? The friends are there and I am also late. So he also said, yes, the tire got punctured. And those who speak lies, there is a special expression in the face. So the professor understood. So then the professor told them, okay, come, all of you sit inside. And he called the first class student. You take this cheat and don't speak to anyone. Come here. Sit in the corner and write answer to one question. The question is, tell me which tire got punctured and don't look back. So he was asking which tire, 4 wheels and Stepney, 5 wheels, which tire got punctured. So then he was, what to do now? We caught. So he wrote some number, hoping that will be coincide with others. Okay, go and sit down. Come, next student. So what is, which tire got punctured, you write down. He wrote. In this way, all the 4 students were caught. And then, the professor told all of you, sit down. That I did not tell anything from my side, but now you read the different cheats what you all got. So read the different cheats. One is said one, second person said third, and some said together fourth. So then the teacher said that if the tire got punctured, is it all the 3 tires got punctured? Not possible. So why did you write different ways? So then the first class student understood that day that truth means that it doesn't change. Otherwise, it is bound to be false and it is bound to be caught. So nasato vityate bhavo, nabhavo vidyate sataha. So the body which we possess, we see all around, it always undergoes changes. If we write a biography of one's own life, we will write, I was a child, or I was a boy, I was a girl, then I was a student, then I was a cricket player, or then I was a grihastha, married man, then I was a businessman, then I became old man, then I will be dead. So if we take the RHS, right hand side and left hand side, we see in everybody's life one thing is common, that one side, the RHS, right hand side equation, there is a constant difference, the change is there. But nevertheless, in the left hand side, we see one principle goes always together, the I principle. So, why this one particular left hand side is not changing, at the same time the right hand side is changing? That means there is a difference between the RHS and the LHS. So that is a difference, and the Bhagavad Gita speaks about the real nature of the self. We are not this body, we are spirit soul. And that is the cause for, that misunderstanding of the self is the cause for all our sufferings. So the Bhagavatam explains that the real nature of the self, the real nature of the self is Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. We are not this body, we are spirit soul, servant of Krishna. And to be resituated in this position is actually the real purpose of the life. And then the Vedic literatures describe that if anything which doesn't help one person to resituated in this constitutional reality is actually nothing but ignorance. So we're discussing in the Brahmacharya meetings that all the knowledge which you gather in this world, which you accumulate, in the ultimate point of view, is nothing but ignorance. Why? Because it doesn't reveal one constitution. Not only that, it actually covers one constitutional position. A person may be studied PhD, or a scientist, or a doctor, or engineer. So these are all accumulation of knowledge. But the more one receives knowledge of these external things, the more one is convinced of his non-identity. And it covers one's real identity. Not only that, it convinces oneself what is actually not. So in that sense, the knowledge, so-called knowledge which people gather outside, is nothing but ignorance of one's real self and constitutional position. That's why in the scripture it is said, Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam Tat Paratve Nirmalam Rishikena Rishikesha Shevanam Bhaktir Uttama. That Sarva Upadi Vinirmuktam, give up all other unwanted designation or wrong designation, and to be situated in one's constitutional position, and that is called devotional service. Muktir Hitva Anyata Rupam Swarupena Vyavastitihi. That's why it is said that if anything helps a person to situated in one's real constitutional position, that particular thing is bhakti or devotional service. But everything else, whatever that could be, that may be, it is actually speaking, covers one's constitution. Not only it covers, but it convinces those persons that they are not servant of Krishna. And that's what Srila Prabhupada categorized. Everything else, dharma projit kaitavotra paramo nirmasaranam satam, that everything that which will not bring a person closer to Krishna is nothing but ignorance, because it covers one's constitutional position. So here we see in the episode of Chitraketu, that operation is being performed. That which convinced him that he is a father and he is a king and he is, everybody has their own conception, and that is being operated by the sages and by Srimad Bhagavatam, and brings that person to his real constitutional position. And this may be a painful position, painful process, but then the end result is amazing. We will see in future the Chitraketu Maharaj's personality and his position of a lover of God. And this devotional process is so powerful, it acts on all the levels. For example, any other processes, it doesn't go to all the levels. We understand we are not this body, we are spirit soul, servant of Krishna. But at the same time, if the process is being told that you just meditate on your soul, just don't do anything, it's not possible. We are attached to the body. And if we are told that you just start working all the day, don't eat anything on this body, it's not possible. So, but devotional service is such that it acts on all the level. So we'll discuss and the four broad categories. First is body. The disease of the conditioned soul, in the conditioned state we have the disease of the body. We have the body, and the body demands, I want to enjoy. So then, the process of empirical knowledge or this drives mental speculation, that denies anything which will give pleasure for this body. It denies anything that which makes the body comfortable. But again, devotional service is simultaneously make you renounce, make you detach from this body, but at the same time, it also utilizes, engages the body in the service of the Lord. So how the body can be utilized? It can be utilized, it can be maintained by taking Krishna Prasad. Yajna Shishto Shina Shanto Mushyanti Sarva Kilbishai. That anything which is not offered to Krishna is nothing but stolen food. So that cannot be consumed. So the body can be used. Sevan mukehi jihvado svayam eva spratyadaha. The body is not illusion, it is reality. But thinking we are the body is that illusion. But since we have this body, this has to be maintained and engaged. So the devotional process such that Even if you are attached to body, it doesn't matter. That the doctor is, the expert doctor is one who can take the patient, treat the patient, at the same time, don't give him too much of trouble, so that he will reject the medicine altogether. So here, the devotional process is also accepting the reality that you are attached to the body. Many times, the outside people, they accuse, you people are escapist. You don't understand the reality of the world. You are escaping. In fact, that is true with the impersonalist, because they say that the world is illusion. Your relation with your family, wife, children, they're all illusion. So forget it. Just go to Himalayas and perform austerities. But in reality, the Vaishnavism accepts that the world is a reality. And the misery body experience is also reality. The attachment we have to the body is also reality. So accepting that reality and then elevating that person from that illusory attachment is the beauty of a devotional process. How it does? Okay, you want to maintain the body. Maintain the body in a legalized way. Maintain the body in a such a way that give pleasure to the Lord. So engage the tongue in tasting delicious Krishna Prasad. So the body is engaged by tasting Lord Krishna's Prasadam, as well as engaging in the regulated devotional activities for the pleasure of the Lord. In this way, the body is engaged. Karo haro mandira marjanadishu, and the feet are engaged in going to the holy places of the Lord. And the body is engaged by embracing the devotees. The eyes are engaged in seeing the beauty of the Lord. In this way, the body is engaged in the service of the Lord in these ways. And then, so the disease of the body is cured by engaging in the service of the Lord. And then we have the mind. The mind is another terrible entity which actually keeps the conditioned soul bound. Mana evahi manushyanam karanam bandha mokshaye bandhaya vishaya sangan mukteiva dirvishayan mana. So mind's quality is that it always finds some reason to be miserable. Always finds some anxiety. We often hear the example that if prasadam is being served, some item is not coming, the mind is focusing on that item. Why it is not coming to me? Or if you have everything, if you don't have a particular thing, mind is occupied on that thought. And the mind tends to be miserable. So what is the medicine for the mind? Mana prasada saumyatvam. That the only way mind can be controlled is by being satisfied. That the mind should be trained to be satisfied in whatever situation the mind is in. That is the medicine for the mind, the Gita recommends. And then, the real medicine for the mind is chanting of the holy name. Mantra, manatrayate iti mantraha. So by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the mind can be controlled and it can be focused on the lotus feet of the Lord. It's a mind. And then we have another thing called intelligence. So intelligence is a subtle part of the material body. And intelligence is main function of intelligence is discrimination and determination. So the main function of intelligence is this, but in the conditioned state, intelligence gives lot of doubts. Ashraddha dana purusha. The unchaste intelligence creates doubt. Samshayatma vinashati. That doubt which comes in the intelligence actually destroys one's faith towards the Supreme Lord. So what is the medicine for the intelligence? What is the diet for the intelligence? That medicine is a reading of Srila Prabhupada books. So for the body is the diet, and for the mind is the chanting, and for the intelligence is dwelling in the Shastric knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada books, as one devotee mentioned, they are like a fence. When you have the fence, just like a cow grasses, any grass, And it goes, sometimes it goes so beyond the distance of its area. Sometimes it gets lost. So the Bhaktivedanta purports are compared to the fence which protects the cow that don't go beyond your jurisdiction. Stay here. And then, and the cow is protected only eating what is necessary. So that is a function of intelligence. Intelligence engaged in study of the Shastras. Just like the mind's disease is to become disturbed and to become mental about anything or to become dissatisfied. Similarly, intelligence disease is to become doubtful of one's constitutional nature, doubtful of the position of the Supreme Lord. And in this category comes the different deviation from the spiritual path, different deviation which are actually contradictory to devotional principles. In that particular point, in the Bhagavad Gita second chapter, Krishna in the Buddhi Yoga destroys all various misconceptions. The major misconception is that a person identifies oneself with the body or with the Supreme Lord. These are the two main misidentities the person has. So, Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter destroys both this misconception. As in simple language, we hear that to consider an ordinary person to God or to consider God to be an ordinary person, both are ignorance. So this misconception is destroyed by properly understanding the facts of these individual personalities. Supreme Lord, the living entities and the world around us. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, in the verse Natyevaham Jatunasham, since the medicine for the intelligence is the Shastric knowledge of scripture, in this verse, Krishna completely destroys this misconception and establishes Arjuna in the real understanding. So, basically Vyasadeva, when he was in the trance, Vyasadeva was completely disturbed what he should do for the living entities. He wrote all the Puranas, he wrote Mahabharata, in fact, he divided the Vedas, took the essence of all Upanishad and wrote Vedanta Sutras. And after writing all this, he was so disturbed, he was not satisfied. At that time, Narada Muni comes and explains to Vyasadeva that you did not give the real thing. Jugupshitam dharma krite. You cheated people by giving the wrong things, that which increases the people's appetite to perform more ritualistic activities. So then Vyasadeva goes into trance, and in trance he sees a vision. Bhakti yogena manase samyak pranihite male apashyat purusham purnam mayam chadapashrayam. So in this trance Vyasadeva sees bhakti yogena manase. One cannot, just like Shankaracharya, he says that Bhranta Boli, Vyasadeva become illusion. That's why he wrote such things. But here the Bhagavatam explains clearly, Bhakti Yogena Manase Samyak Praniteyam Amale. Amale means uncontaminated. And in a pure mental state, Vyasadeva was meditating. And his meditation, what did he see? He saw Purusham Purnam. He saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada Rishna purport, he did not see some Brahmal effulgence. He did not see any light. Indeed, he saw the Supreme Personality of God, Sri Krishna. And he did not only see Krishna alone, but he saw the material energy, Prakriti. And Prakriti, he did not just see individually or independently, but Mayam Chatat Apashrayam, that which is taken shelter in and the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, Vyasadeva saw two different entities. And then in the second verse, Vyasadeva sees another picture. Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmikam paropi manute nartam tatkritam chapi patyate. And second scene, Vyasadeva is saying that all the living entities are completely bewildered, thinking that they are this body. And that is the cause for suffering. So Vyasadeva saw in trance these three distinct factors: the Supreme Lord, the controller of all controller, who is independent. And then he saw the matter, the prakriti, which is under the control of Krishna. And then he saw the living entities, which is under the control of illusory energy. So these are the realities which is seen by Vyasadeva. But still, the so-called impersonalistic school of thought, they consider all these three as same. All these three are one. So, Shripa Shankaracharya, he propounded the theory for this reason: to bewilder the conditioned soul to become absorbed in material activities. And to distinguish the demonic forces from devotees, he propagated the philosophy. So all the demonic people completely segregated. Okay, we are followers of Shankaracharya. Otherwise, previously everybody, we were tilak and everybody reads Bhagavatam. And nothing was able to discriminate. So for various reasons, Shankaracharya did that. But nevertheless, the contamination went in, and the acharyas worked to remove the contamination. So, Shankaracharya did these contaminations of preaching Mayavad, not whimsically, but based on Shastras. Of course, whimsically, but based on Shastras. So he said that in the Shastras, Vyasadeva established that Krishna expands into many. Bahushyam. So Shankaracharya saw that if you take these Vyasadeva words, that the absolute truth expands into many, then how can we establish Vedic statement? Because absolute cannot be divided. If you take a paper and it divides into many, and it lost its original quality. So Vyasadeva said, absolute truth cannot be expanding into many. It is wrong. So something has to be explained to explain this principle. So Vyasadeva said, actually speaking, absolute truth is not divided into many, but it is our illusion that all the individuals we are seeing around us is appear to be the division of the Supreme Brahman. Actually it is not. It is their illusion. Just like a drunkard person, he sees one person is standing but sees everybody as many in one place. So he said, because of our intoxication of sense enjoyment, we are seeing one as many, many. So actually it is not. So he established this theory of Vivarta. That Vivarta means you are seeing a rope, but you are considering the rope to be a snake. But actually it is not a snake, it is Vivarta. So he established the theory of Vivarta, that actually all the living entities we are seeing is actually not individuals. They are actually false. And in the intoxicated state we are seeing them as individual. But then who are we? He said, actually we are Supreme Lord. We are not different from the God. But because there is an illusion attack the God, and we all become intoxicated. In intoxication we are seeing individual as a reality, but it is not reality. In this way, he contaminated the mind of the people, and it gave vent to people to enjoy sense gratification. Oh, if we are God, let us enjoy our senses. But then, these kinds of doubts which may arise in the mind is contradicted by the Supreme Lord himself and by the Vaishnava Acharyas. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Nirvishesha means, that is explanation of Shankaracharya. Supreme Absolute Truth doesn't have any varieties. He doesn't have any vishes, he is nirvishesh, and doesn't have any qualities. But then, all the Vaishnava Acharyas destroyed this philosophy and then established and delivered Paschatya Deshatarini. So, by reading into Srila Prabhupada's books, Natte Vaham Jatunasham, in that Prabhupada explains that this individual conception, Shankaracharya says, is out of illusion, that we are servant of Krishna, Krishna is different, the material world is different, we are individual, you are different, I am different. This individuality is not illusion. Why? Because Krishna says, Natve Vaham. I am an individual person. Thvam, you Arjuna, you are an individual person. Ime, all these assembled kings are individual. Not just for the time being, but also in the future and the past. We are always individual. So by reading Srila Prabhupada's books, one is clearly situated and beyond the doubt. So intelligence can be, and the disease of the intelligence can be removed by employing the intelligence in the study of the scriptures. And then the final thing remaining is the false ego. How the false ego can be contracted? The false ego want to be recognized, want to be the king of all kings, want to be worshipped. So this false ego can be destroyed by putting oneself in the association of devotees. In the association of devotees, whatever achievement one may become, he is actually humbled down. Whatever achievement, whatever expertise one may have, but another devotee becomes more expert than that person and he comes down. And the association and disagreement comes, but then because of the association, we hear that one should be humbled than the blade of grass, tolerant than a tree, then the false ego is crushed and it comes down. So in the association of devotees, the disease of false ego comes down. And then last lecture, His Holiness Ranath Maharaj, he explained that the tendency of false ego is that it want to be recognized, it want to be glorified, it want to be appreciated. And these tendencies are there because we are looking for love. We are searching for love. That's why these qualities are there. And this is there in a person's heart because he is not having Krishna. So recognition, appreciation, and distinction, adoration, pujala, pradishta, these things are there everywhere because of not having Krishna. But for a person who is filled with Krishna, like yesterday, Gauranga Deshpa gave such a devotional class. He gave Krishna, fullness of Krishna. If a person has fullness of Krishna, then he has everything in it. So when he experiences Krishna, a person doesn't want to be in the front line. He is satisfied here in Krishna. So that is can happen possible in the association of devotees. And in the association, one becomes humble. Janani Vasubhai explained that when we are in the association of devotees, in devotional service, everything is spiritual around us. Except one thing. Everything around, if you are worshipping the deity, everything is spiritual inside there. The deity is of course spiritual. The paraphernalia is spiritual. The arati plate is spiritual. The floor is spiritual. The ceiling is spiritual. Even the fan is spiritual. Except one thing. That is one's own consciousness. The person is worshipping the deity, at least one can consider for oneself. So except this, everything is spiritual. But then the disease of the consciousness, the conditioned consciousness is, it thinks that is the most important factor. And that leads to offenses, seva parad. That I am the most important person, everything else is not important. So that brings a person to the lower consciousness. When you worship the deity, the feeling at least comes to myself that I want to do some so that others can be impressed. So the ego comes in the front, then the transcendent spiritual personality, spiritual paraphernalia. And then the association of devotees also, that everybody is spiritual. Everybody is engaged in the service of Krishna. But one's supposed to consider that I am the only person who is actually materially contaminated. The temple hall is spiritual. The paraphernalia is spiritual. And if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, the books are spiritual. So in devotional principle, everything is spiritual except one's own consciousness. But then again, the mind and the consciousness impels one to think that he is the most important person. So in the association of devotees, in the association of and the spiritually minded people, the senior devotees, the false ego has been crushed and it comes down to spiritual platform. And the most dangerous thing for the false ego is that offense to the devotees of the Lord. His great Janani Vasubhai explained that why the offense to the devotees are so dangerous. Because who are the devotees? Devotees are one who is very dear to Krishna. And Krishna is dear to devotees. In fact, devotees control Krishna. Krishna is sabsari aham bhakta paradino. Krishna is completely controlled by the devotees. And the devotees are controlling Krishna. But if we try to control the devotees, we are trying to control those who are controlling Krishna. That gives vent to the serious offense of displeasing the Supreme Lord. So that's happened because of false ego. So the association of devotees elevate a person towards pure devotional service, but the same association can be very dangerous and bring down a person to the lowest platform. So that's why Sri Raghunath Maharaj explained that association of devotees is not a necessary, it is a crucial in dealing with the Vaishnavas. As we hear from yesterday from Gaurang Prabhu, that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also, in his behavior, he becomes subservient to the devotees. When he was in Varanasi, Chandrasekhar Acharya and Tapan Mishra, they are completely overwhelmed with the Mayavadi's association. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately wanted to leave that place. But they requested, Lord, please Lord, stay here. So Mahaprabhu, even though he doesn't want to stay, he agreed to stay there. And in Jagannath Puri, he wanted to leave to Vrindavan immediately. But then the devotees told Mahaprabhu, stay for Ratyatra. And he stayed for Ratyatra. Mahaprabhu, please stay for, Chandan Yatra is coming. He stayed for Chandan Yatra. Mahaprabhu, please stay for Dol Yatra is coming. Then Odana Shashti, whole year passed. Still, because devotees are asking, Mahaprabhu put himself under the control of devotees. And when he went to Vrindavan ultimately, his servant, what is his name? Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He was completely helpless that so many people are, Brajavasis are coming and demanding Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's association. He was having tough time. So he says, Mahaprabhu, let us go for Meghamala in Varanasi. And Mahaprabhu accepted that. Just for his satisfaction, he left Vrindavan. In this way, Krishna is so dear to the devotees. In this way, one should be careful with the devotees, and loving affection of the devotees will be the cause for deliverance from false ego. So to summarize, we discussed the disease of body can be contracted by taking prasadam, because the body reads prasad. And then mind can be contracted by chanting of the holy name. So diet, and then intelligence can be contracted by reading Prabhupada books. And falsehood can be contracted by associating devotees. Association, books, chanting and diet. So this is the gift of Srila Prabhupada. So we'll stop here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.